It's a good day to be here. I'm glad, appreciated the service so far. The Sunday school class, the scripture reading Brother Brent read, and just thinking of the goodness of God and the beautiful day we have to enjoy and the nice sunshine and warm weather. It's just a good day to be alive and a good day to be able to come and worship the Lord together. And it's good to see each one of you here. Yesterday, we went to an air show, and so several of us did, and I think we're a mixture between toasted and well done. So anyway, yeah, we were out in the sun all day, but it was a good day to get away from the various activities we normally do and to see the different things that happened there. I was thinking this week for a message, and I guess I was drawn to continue our going through the church covenant, the next section. For those of you that are visiting here, we have a church covenant, and I started several years ago, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, we went through the different paragraphs, and I had a message on each paragraph, and I felt the Lord leading me to do that again here several months ago. Paragraph we're ready for today, I'll read that. It's a shorter, one of the shorter paragraphs, but it says, I recognize that I am a steward of all that God has entrusted in me. Therefore, I will use my resources responsibly by contributing time, talents, and offerings to the ministry and mission of the church. Then it has two passages there, which one of them we will be using for our scripture text this morning. One of the phrases in there that jumped out at me right away was that I will use my resources responsibly. Think about that just for a minute. What is our resources and what is our responsibility? What is responsibility? Responsibility is taking care of that which you are responsible for, I guess you could say. If I'm in charge of I'll just use feeding the cows this afternoon. If that's my responsibility, I'm responsible to see that that happens. If you're in charge of being at work tomorrow, if it's your responsibility to be at work tomorrow morning at 7 or 8 o'clock, you're responsible to see that that happens as much as possible. But what is the resources that God has given us as we're looking at it in the context here this morning? We could look at various things, but the three things that are listed there is our time and our talents and the offerings to the ministry and mission of the church. A couple questions to get our minds thinking. Are we using our time wisely? What are we doing with our talents? There's a parable in the Bible of the different talents that were given, and the one was given, I think it was 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. And we know that many, I'm sure we all could say this story by heart, I'm pretty sure, but then we know when it was referring to their master, which is using an analogy of the Lord and God and the responsibility that he gives each one of us. But how when he came back and the one that had 5 said that he had put his to good use, and I think he doubled his talents and he had been prosperous in what God had given him to work with. The second one that had 2 did the same thing, but the third one said, oh, I knew you were, I didn't look this up, this just came to me, but I knew you were a powerful God and you were a great God and you were, yeah, and so I just went and hit it and didn't use it, so I'm paraphrasing all of this now. And God said, you wicked and slothful servant. In other words, he was bringing out the thought of, you did not use responsibly what I gave you to use. So thinking about that a little bit more, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with the talents? We could say, what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? Gifts as far as the way God has gifted us in using them for his honor and his glory. What about the offerings? Are we giving of an offering to the Lord? It's a little story. I hate to use this maybe in the way it's about Burt Reynolds, because Burt Reynolds is not a Christian man, but it brings out the thought. But it says Burt Reynolds starred in an old film entitled The End. In the film, he decided to commit suicide by swimming out as far as he could until he is exhausted and then just go under. But after going under, he is looking at the surface from the underside and decides not to go through with it. As he breaks the surface of the water, he screams, I want to live, I want to live. Then he begins to swim to shore, but it is a very long ways off. Remember, he had swam out as far as he could till he was exhausted. He began to swim to shore, but it was a long way off. As he begins to swim, he talks to God. He promises that he will be obedient to the commandments in his Bible. He realizes that he doesn't even know them, so he promises that he will learn them. Then in his panic, he said, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll give you 80% of everything that I have." But as time passes and he is still going strong, and besides, he can just begin to see the shoreline. But as he continues to swim, he feels his strength honing out and says, "Lord, if you help me get to the shore alive, I'll give you 10% of all of my earnings." Finally, he struggled to the place where he sees that he has just going to be able to make it to land and says, "Well, Lord, let's just forget about everything that I just said. I think I can make it on my own from here." As I thought about that, you know, I almost really became saddened. And I thought, you know, there's many people living in that way today. When they get in hardships, when they get in corners, they cry out to God. But as they go on through life, they forget about God. They forget about his blessings. They forget about that God is in control of everything. They forget about the judgment that God is going to have someday. All of us are going to face judgment at one point in time. Again, I ask that question, what are we doing with our time and our talents and the offerings? Are we using them wisely? Are we giving God the best that we have? I believe the attitude that we've seen, that the little story I just read, reflects on the attitude of many people today. Giving to God and living for God are sometimes thought of as paying our dues or fulfilling our obligations. What should our attitude be towards service for the Lord? Is our attitude towards our service for the Lord, and here again I'm going to just tie our lives up in a nutshell, so to speak, everything we do, our time, our talents, our abilities, is our attitude toward our service for the Lord one of gratitude and thankfulness to God, who is the giver of everything that we have? Think about it a moment. You know, I've shared, I'm not sure if it was here or somewhere else, you know, actually, I think it was last Sunday I shared that I've maybe shared it here one other time, but we've have things so easy here in the U.S., so to speak. This has just all come to my mind now, but that little illustration I've used, if you had enough to eat in the last several days, if you have money in your wallet, if you've had enough for this, you're within the wealthiest 8% of the world. And, you know, as life goes on and we get feel like this is, we tend to get the mentality, the attitude that this is our rights or this is what's entitled to us, and because of that we tend to get soft and feel that we shouldn't really have hardships and trials. And because of that, I wonder sometimes if we fully understand and give God his rightful place in our lives. That if it, you know, why did God, I'm sure I asked this question here before, but why did God place me in a Christian family, born in the United States, where we have so much? Why does God allow us to have the things that we have to enjoy? You know, there's people in other parts of the world, if any of you, I'm sure several of us here, if not many of us, have went to third world countries before, and many people live in mud huts. Some don't even have a mud hut to live in. They live in little shacks. When years ago, one of my uncles was in mission work in Haiti. We went there to visit him. I was probably 11, 12, somewhere in that range. And there was this part of some of the country was wealthy, but a large part of the country is very poor. And this one section there, they called it Tin City, and it was obviously definitely a tin city. Their houses and shacks were tacked together with any little thing they could find. Some had even had soda cans flattened out and nailed over a little hole on the outside wall. There was open sewer running down the side of the streets with little paths, catwalks across them, boards to walk across between the street and their houses. I mean, it was just filthy. Very little clothing was worn down there, especially on all the children. But saying all that, does our life express a gratitude and thankfulness for what God has entrusted into our care? Title of the message this morning is Giving of Our All to God. God is the giver of all the goodness that we have, and it's because of the abilities that he has given us that we can work and think. It's because of His goodness and His greatness, that He placed us where we are at. But we need to be careful that we don't take it for granted, but that we continue to use our resources wisely, that we are willing to give for His goodness and for the cause of His church, whether it's monetary or whether it's our ability and our time. Our giving that we do should be out of a heart of gratitude and giving of our time and talents and service to the Lord. The thought that came to my, question that came to my mind this morning as I was reading back over my notes again was, how many times do I thank God for what He has done for me? And I'll ask that question to you, how many times do you thank God for what He has done for you? I probably don't do it as often as I should. I think I do it fairly often. I guess now I'll maybe think about it more as I pray, but you know, do I thank God that He placed me in a Christian home? Do I thank God, first of all, that He died and He provided salvation for us? You know, that should be our first and foremost priority in our lives, to remember to thank Him for and praise Him for. But how many times do we thank God for His goodness and His grace? Do our lives reflect and point to the fact that we recognize that God is the giver of everything we have? If it wasn't for God's goodness and God's grace, I don't think any of us would be sitting here this morning. You know, we wouldn't even have health to be here. We wouldn't even have clean air to breathe. We wouldn't have the transportation to get here. Think about it just a moment. Why, you know, you might say, well, I worked hard to get that. Well, maybe you did, but God also provided the blessings to allow you to do that and get the things you have. So as we think about that, I guess the thought that came to me about some of that was, our giving should not be just a response because this is what we should do, but it should be out of a response of a life of gratitude. Our giving should be as if we're laying it into God's hands, bringing everything we have to the feet of Jesus. Thinking about that, you know, the thing of the word worship, all of our lives should be pointing to the fact that we are honoring and glorifying God. Worship is a word that comes from the word worthy. We give back to God because He is worthy. We give back to God because He is the Lord of the universe. Question we want to look at a little bit this morning, we'll maybe be looking at a little more along the line, which that's one of the passages that is used in our church covenant, but more along the line of our giving of our offerings. The question we want to look at this morning is, how much should I give, or how should we give, and what should our attitude be towards giving? Text this morning will be 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. As we look at this, I think if we begin to understand the principle of giving from a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness, that it has an effect on all of our service to the Lord. It changes our way of thinking, our way of looking at things as we begin to, even in our time, our talents and our offerings, whatever it is, it changes the whole way we look at life. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sowers, both ministereth bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. and by their prayer for you, which long after you for exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to unto God for his unspeakable gift. As we think about giving back to God, and here again, like I said, we'll be focusing a little bit more of giving in our offerings and that aspect of it. But as we look at that, we'll have a lot I think we can apply to our lives in all aspects of life. I want to think about the fact that part one here, there'll be four different parts to the message, but part one is giving was instituted by God. We know in the Old Testament that giving was instituted, and it was called a tithe as we know it. And it, one or two verses I want to look at in Leviticus 27, 30 and 32, it was in the Old Testament, you were supposed to give back 10% of everything that you had, or everything that God had given you of your increase. Leviticus 27, verse 30 and then 32. And it says, And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And then 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So there we see the Old Testament standard of giving, like I said, was 10%, and that was called their tithe, the 10% of their increase. It says it was holy and it belonged to the Lord. It was sacred. It was set apart for God. It was, you almost get the idea that 10% was God's and the rest of it was theirs to I guess, use as they seen fit, or it was pretty much theirs. They had worked for their food and money, but it was God's who blessed them with the crops and cattle and their ability to work. Let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The idea was 10% of what they owned belonged to God. Therefore, it was holy. It was sacred. It was set apart from God. It was not to be used for a common purpose. God said that 10% of everything that they had was his. I want to look at a verse in Malachi 3, verse 10. Along with this, if they were willing to do that, it came with a blessing. In Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And right before this is where God was really, I don't know if you would say condemning them or challenging them for not upholding the 10% tithe, not being willing. It's the verse there, I think it's two verses before that, says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. In other words, they weren't giving them the tithes and offerings that they were supposed to. But then here in this verse 10 that we were just read is where he says, he will pour out a blessing upon them if they would be obedient. Thinking about some of that, you know, the thoughts may come, well, this, that sounds all good. That's part of the Old Testament. We know that was part of the Old Testament. But what about in the New Testament? What about what was said? Was tithe ever mentioned in the New Testament? I don't believe we could say that the exact thought of the tithe, but in the New Testament, the principle is laid out more that everything we have is the Lord's. As God gave us new life, as we are now new creatures, we are now new made into new beings, that everything we have is God's. The New Testament, I believe, has a total different pattern of giving than the Old Testament. We have the story of the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and was asking Jesus what he needed to have eternal life. And I'll just read a couple verses there in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. It says there, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and then thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I believe there's several things we could look at here, but for sake of time, we won't dwell too long there. But I believe the principle that Jesus is laying out here is that everything that you have is mine. He realized that this rich young ruler had not, first of all, surrendered his heart to him. He had not accepted Jesus as his Savior, but he had also not understood the principle that everything that he had was the Lord's. We see that the rich young ruler came searching for eternal life. He came with the question of, what do I need to do? Jesus, first of all, told him that you must, basically, in a nutshell, I'm going to say, you must live a decent, moral, upstanding life. He spelled out some of the Ten Commandments there. And the young man responded and said, I've kept all of these from my youth. But then he goes on to say, what am I lacking? And then I believe is when we begin to see the New Testament principle that everything that we earn should belong to God. I don't know, many of you probably remember when Brother Marvin Troyer was here a couple years ago. I don't remember what year it was anymore, at least 3-4 years ago now probably, and had a weekend seminar on stewardship. And he laid out the fact, I remember this, I don't know why this comment often, or this quote or comment that he said often sticks to me or comes to my mind. He said that, everything I have is the Lord's. He can do with it whatever he wants. And he was using the analogy of years ago when he had farmed. I think he had crop farm. Actually, I think he still crops farms a little bit. But one year it was really dry and it wasn't looking like the crop was going to make a lot of corn. But then he said, as he struggled with that that summer, and it came to the place where he said, well, it's the Lord's anyway. He can do with it whatever he wants. And I believe if we begin to grasp even just a little bit of that principle, it helps us be more understanding of what God has for us in life. God doesn't just want a part of us. He wants all of us. I believe if we begin to acknowledge this and live our lives in this way, it will change the way we worship and honor and glorify God in our daily activities. Another story we have in the Bible is the story of the widow who gave all that she had. She gave, I think it was 2 mites, and I won't turn to that for sake of time, but it says how that the different ones, they were there observing as they came in and put their offerings into the box. And this widow lady came along and just stuck in 2 mites, and Jesus asked his disciples which one gave the most. And well, of course, their thoughts would have been the ones that were given a lot of money. And Jesus said, no, the widow lady did, because she gave all that she had. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. I don't remember who it was here a while back, and I'm not sure if it was a seminar, just a visiting speaker came in and said that one of his thoughts he brought out in his message was, we need to hold everything that we have lightly and with an open hand, recognizing that God placed it into our care and it is his, not ours. The point I believe we're looking at here a little bit is not whether you give away all that you have or whether or not you, but it's whether or not you recognize that God has complete and unconditional ownership of all of your possessions. What we're thinking at here is a complete new attitude about life. You know, most people that haven't surrendered their hearts to the Lord or aren't living for the Lord are in it for everything they can get. Can I get a big name? You see these corporations and there's a bunch of pulling back and forth. The one's trying to get a better, more clout than the other, so to speak. And one's trying to get above the other. And, you know, there's always this shuffling going on. They're basically wanting a good pat on the back or a good name at the end of life. If we have any name other than a name of a servant of the Lord at the end of our lives, it's meaningless and worthless. Anything else will have no value. Part 2 we want to look at is giving freely from our heart. have a question wrote here. Are you giving freely this morning? I'm not just talking about monetary, the offering plate that was passed around this morning. That is all part of it. But are we giving freely of our time and talents and service for the Lord? You know, I might be honest here this morning. I don't think I ever said this in public, and I'm not sure if I should say it this morning, but my human nature would not have chose to be a pastor. I fought it for years when I felt God placing that calling on my life, but I came to the point of recognizing that the only way that I could be in complete subjection to His will, if I was willing for God to use me for whatever He wanted me for. And why do I say that this morning? I say that to say that we maybe don't always feel gifted or qualified to do the service that God is calling us to do. But God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And Brother Gary, I don't know if I can use you for an example, but I remember last year when you got called, or I got nominated and voted to be the chorister, you were pretty sure we had made a pretty bad mistake. But I can honestly say this morning, I've seen the gifts come out in you in the past year that you maybe didn't even realize you had, and vice versa. There's others in the congregation for other things, the superintendent role, other roles that people have filled. You know, there's times when we don't really maybe feel good about using the gifts that God has given us. But as we do, God will, if we become willing, God will use us for His honor and for His glory. I want to look at several verses here in our text this morning. Verse 7 there in our 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." It says, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, I remember Brother J. Mark, maybe you remember him saying this too, but he used the thought of many times when he was first called in the ministry, he would say the thought that I have to preach this Sunday. And he realized that that wasn't a very, you know, we understand what he meant by that, but he said he should be saying, I get to preach this Sunday. It should be a privilege to use what God has given us. In other words, when you say I have to preach, it almost seems like it's necessity or it's grudgingly. But when you say it's my turn to preach or I get to preach this Sunday, it's because we're willing to do what God has called us to do. Our giving should be voluntary, willing, and cheerful because we're thankful for what God has given us. That thought there, the last phrase in that verse 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I believe we should have great joy in being able to give to the Lord. Here again, whether it's our time, our talents, or our money, we should have great joy in being able to give back to the Lord. Thinking about that, there's a little story about a little girl. It's told the story of a mother who wanted to teach her daughter a lesson. So she gave her daughter a quarter and a dollar before they went to church. She said, put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other one for yourself, she told her girl. When they were coming out of the church, the mother asked her daughter, which amount did you give? Well, said the little girl, I was going to put the dollar in, but just before the collection, a man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. And I knew that I'd be a lot more cheerful if I'd give the quarter, so I did. Was the girl wrong? No, I don't necessarily believe that she was, because whatever we decide to give, it should be given cheerfully and not grudgingly or reluctantly or because of compulsion. And I thought about that. If we use the thought of another thing, and maybe I think I might have this in my notes later on, and another thing Marvin Troyer had brought out in some of his stewardship is thinking about the tithe and the 10%. He said, you know, it's a good place for us as Christians to start, but he don't think we should stop there. He said we should give what we can, give as much as we can. But I thought about that. In this aspect, the girl had $1.25, so she gave more than 10%. So anyhow, thinking about the thought of being willing to give generously, willingly, and out of an abundance of our heart. In part 3, we should give generously. I'm sure we all know what the word generous means. That means If we're generous to somebody, we probably give them more than we could have or should have or maybe needed to. To be generous in some aspects may mean to give sacrificially. Did you ever hear the saying of give until it hurts? You know, somebody said, I've heard somebody make the comment one time that we haven't fully given until we've given till it hurts, at least a few times in our lives. Not that we should always use that, but we need to be willing to give generously. Well, one of the things I believe it would help us to understand, and I believe it means to give in such a way that it requires us to deny ourselves of something that we want or maybe even need. Think about it for a moment. If we had $1 million and I give half of it away, you would say I gave generously, and it would seem that way, but that's still $500,000 that I've kept that probably isn't that necessary. But if I would do that, I wouldn't have given very sacrificially, because I would still have enough to buy everything I needed and some besides. But if I have $100 and give $50 and I need $60 to pay for something and I give $50 of it away, that would be when I gave sacrificially, because I gave something that I really could have used for something of my own. Luke 12:48, and this ties into some of what I started with in the opening. It says, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. I believe God has placed us in a lot greater responsibility by the things that we have at our fingertips and the things that we have today than many other people in other parts of the world. You know, there's many ways that we can give to help others in the world that don't have the blessings that we have. There's many people, and I'm sure you get the newsletters the same as we do, of people that don't have enough to eat, don't have clothes to wear. There's many different organizations that we can help out that help with those types of things. I believe the point is that God knows what each of us has, and He wants us to be generous, as generous as we can be, with what He has blessed us with. C.S. Lewis once said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. Think about that a moment. Part three, we should give expectantly. Do you realize, thinking about that, sometimes we give placing our faith and trust in the Lord? You know, and maybe this could be to all aspects of it, but giving of our time and talents, you know, there's times we maybe don't feel gifted to do that which God is calling us to do, or we don't feel that we have the ability to fulfill the task that God wants us to do. But as we place our faith and trust in the Lord and continue to commit everything to Him, He will give us what we need to fulfill it. Thinking there a little bit about that, verse 6 kind of has a little bit in there of the law of sowing and reaping. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And then in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's a story I heard many years ago of a man that recognize the need of giving. Let me back up. Him and his wife had just got married, and they had this discussion on how much to put in the offerings, that type of thing. And he didn't necessarily see the need to give. Let me back up again. I'm getting maybe ahead of myself. His wife thought it was important to give at least 10% to the church, and he didn't see it as that. He thought you should give as you felt led to, or you should give as you felt responsible to, or give as you had the money to give. But as time went on, they kind of weren't putting a lot in the offerings, and his wife, unbeknownst to her husband, was keeping track every week of what would be 10% of the money that came in. And this went on for a couple years. And one day he found this paper that she had written down of all the money that she had at the top. She had wrote the Lord's money. And he got so convicted by it that he it took them a while to do it, but they got everything through the next several years paid, I say paid, gave to the Lord of that amount, and they started giving well and above and beyond that. And he went on to say that before they gave, he felt they couldn't give any money because of the other responsibilities that they had. But after he started giving in the way they were giving, they had abundantly of blessings and more to give every week than he ever imagined they would. And I thought about that many times in my life and in our lives as well. I'm not a health and wealth and prosperity preacher of any sort, but I believe God will bless abundantly beyond what we can even begin to imagine as we give back to him of our time and talents and offerings. J.L. Kraft, the man that started Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his income to Christian causes for many years, said, "The only investment that I ever made that paid consistent, increasing dividends is the money that I gave to the Lord." Think about that for a moment. Being faithful in giving starts where you are with whatever you have. We are not commanded in the New Testament but to give 10%. But as I mentioned about Brother Marvin Troyer shared, we need to have a basis or a starting place somewhere. But our giving should be voluntary, willing, or cheerful. You know, if we do it grudgingly, we totally miss the point. If we say, "Well, I got $400 this week, I've got to give 40 of that to the Lord," that's not how God wants us to be. We need to do it willingly and out of an open and cheerful heart. One that is a life of thankfulness and gratitude for God, to God for his blessings. I believe part of being a faithful steward is being willing to share what God has entrusted in our care. A couple more verses there in our text this morning. Verse 11, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Is our life one of giving thanksgiving to God? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do we believe that God is in control of everything? You know, I was thinking about this as we talked a little bit there in Sunday school class, but you know, how we don't understand the ways of God. God's ways are higher than our ways, and now we see through a glass darkly. But if we forget anything or everything else, remember that God is in control of everything. You know, for many years, I used to get frustrated by the troubles and trials of life, and I still do at times, but yesterday we had a really good day, and I came home last evening. I wasn't even planning to share this story. I'm not, but anyway, here we are. Came home last evening, got home about 8 o'clock, and we had a cow die that day. She had calved yesterday. She had calved a couple days ago with twins and just had some major issues. And yeah, I knew she wasn't doing well, and we did everything we could for her, but she ended up dying. So we got her out, and I took her out to the compost pile. And that's the first cow we had die for many months, thank goodness. But anyhow, I came back in and I was walking through and looking there at the cows. The other cows were in the pen. We have a pen where we put our springers that are soon going to have calves. And there was another cow I knew that was having some issues, so I got her in the catch gate, and here she was having twins and was having some major difficulties, and both the calves were born dead. But I say that to say this. I prayed yesterday morning when we left that everything would go well and that God would keep everything safe on the farm and that God would give us a good day and a safe trip. And he did. But I came home and Satan tried to use that to destroy the goodness that we had that whole day. And I decided, you know, it ain't even going to happen. I said, "Lord, if this is what your will is for me to do tonight, I'll do it." And it took me probably 45 minutes till we got taken care of everything we had. And if any of you are farmers and have had anything to do with the farm, you know that that's not a pleasant experience. But going back to if we can grasp that concept of everything that we have is God's, and you know, we had just had that other cow that died that day, and I said, "God, this is all yours. You can do with it whatever you want." And I just continued to thank God for the goodness that we had had that day. And I can honestly say, I don't think I got frustrated at all throughout that whole process. But do we realize that God is in control of everything? God could have changed that situation or not even allowed it to happen if he would have wanted to. But for some reason, he wanted me to go through that experience last night. And the crazy thing is, and this is very unusual, but we had three sets of twins this week, and another one of the sets had the exact same issue about 3 days ago. And that's very unusual. We maybe normally have 4 to 6 sets of twins in a whole year, let alone having 3 sets in 1 week. And I'm not sure why, I'll just say this yet, but for some reason, twins sometimes can be some of your more difficult calvings. They come turned backwards or different. Yeah, they're not coming in the right position, things of that nature. But I say all to that to say this, that God is in control of everything. He wants us to give of our time and our talents in service to him. And if we can grasp that concept that everything we have is God's and everything that we do should bring honor and glory to him, it'll go a long ways in helping us understand what he wants from us. So a question for each one of us to think about this morning. What are you doing with your time and talents and offerings this morning? Are you willingly giving your all to God? Have you surrendered everything to Christ? I remember, too, last night this thought came to me as I was there, but my dad often said when troubles like that happen, I don't know why, this always stuck to me, but almost every time he'd say, "Be glad it's at the barn and not at the house." And I often think about that. You know, there's a lot of other difficulties that we could face that would have a lot far more lasting consequences than some of those things. And, you know, do we fully recognize that we don't understand why God allows some things to come into our lives or take place, but God does care about us and he has our best interest in mind. And are we willing to give back to him in thankfulness and gratitude because of that? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer. Thank you.